there is a breaking down and there is a compromising going on, and we want to dress and look and walk like the world. Now, God does not want His people becoming affiliates of this style, conscious, fashion, age. That means the flesh is rising up. We are refusing to submit our will to God. And when we start that, we have trouble. Now, let's notice a little further here. Let's go back to the scripture that I read in the book of James. And let's do a little investigation there and see what is really being said there. James 4, 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now, don't forget, we're talking about humility. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, because the devil is the head of this mundane, our world is set up. What Christ is carving out of the human family today is the people that will repeople the earth in the millennium and will control and propagate this world. He is going to have a new creation after righteousness. So I am to submit myself to God. I am to resist the devil. It lies within the spiritual prerogatives of my own experience that I have the good pleasure of resisting the devil. He has enabled me with a more powerful principle to resist the devil. How do you do it? You love God more than you love yourself. You fight love with love. You don't fight love with love. Law is too immature. Law is too weak. It's an infantile. It's a total growth, athletic lesson quantity. You fight love with love. You love God more than you love the world. And the only way you can do that is to submit yourself to God by being humble. Now let's notice a little further. He says, be afflicted and mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. I want to get to that in just a little bit. Now notice this. If we love the Lord as we should, we will prefer Him doing it according to His word. Now, years ago, when I first started out to preach, Brother Gidrose and Brother Foss were my closest monitors. Brother Foss was the closest one. He just took me under his wing. And if I am worth 5 cents worth of melted butter to the work of God, I have to give it to that father in Israel. And by the way, while I'm mentioning him, he's not doing well right now, and he's under oxygen. When you pray, would you please pray for that family and also for him? So, if I have faith, I will submit my will to God, if I have real faith. And some of the things that they warned me about, Brother Foss and Brother Gidrose, when I was in my early 20s, I could not see one thing on earth they were talking about. I wouldn't have thought the devil could have hemmed me up in a 10,000-acre pasture. Now, that's how grossly ignorant I was about spiritual things. But because they were who they were, and because of what my dear darling mother taught me as a child, to always obey them that have the rule over you, I listened. Not because I understood, not because I saw, not because I realized anything they were talking to me about. They just tell me, now don't do this, and you don't do that, and you watch here and you watch there. I didn't see anything to watch. But because they said it, I tried to watch. I was as blind as a mule in a salt mine. But I listened. But other young men in my same generation did not practice that same thing. Today they are not. There's something about honoring men that God places over you. It has something to do with your attitude. It has something to do with it. You cannot tell a church why you do everything you do. If you did, you spend all your time telling them why. You have to have enough faith in the man of God, in the Word of God, and in God Himself, that if your leader is not as appropriate in applying some things as he needs to be, it will be him and God. And if you will listen to the prophets that are sent to you, you'll get their reward without their responsibility. That's what a great value God places on obedience. He that receives a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward without having to be the prophet and mess with the devil in all the areas that we have to mess with him in. Did you know, if I can say this kindly, and I hope I'm saying it with the right attitude, if I'm not, Brother Glass surely will tell me, you as a parishioner or a believer in a local church stand a better chance to be saved than I do. Because there are things about the devil and evil that you will never have to handle. You'll never have to know anything about them. But as leaders, we contact a strata of evil on altogether a different location than you do. You need to pray for the men that are called to preach, because we have to be saved just like the people we preach to. And there are developing stages, and there are times of temptation, and there are times of sorrow and adversity. We need your prayers. So the only reason that I would not listen to the Word of God is because of unbelief. Unbelief will refuse to do it God's way. It will seek to do it my way. Let's note some things here about the eye. We must learn not to love the eye. Here are some things about it. It's nature to put self first. It's nature to do it the convenient way. It's nature to do it the easy way. It's nature to do it the expected way. It's nature to go the first mile. But what we don't like is going that second mile. There's a lot of things that you can do with not too much sacrifice and please the eye. But when you go further, then it calls for more dedication and sacrifice. He asks us here in this scripture, submission to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, be afflicted, mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. Now, if we humble ourselves, we will follow that sequence of events. If we do not, well, we will follow another order of conditions. Let me say something to you about the I. It's selfish. It's unreasonable. It has partiality in it. It has opposition in it. It has rebellion. It has contention. It has envy. It has cruelty. It has injustice. It has falsehood. It has pride. Submit to God. And if I submit to God, I am humbling myself and giving myself to Him. And that is never flattering. People usually don't like to hear too much about these things because it's not the easiest thing to communicate. Sometimes you see people oftentimes that they like to have their way. They will contend until the last situation because selfishness and pleasing the eye disregards God's command. It contends for His authority. It spurns His mercy. It provokes His forbearance. It is God's adversary. It resists all authority and government of deity, the I. Once we, in the fall, in the beginning, had our eyes open to good or evil, we are able to choose which we want, which we love. A man or woman in life is what they love. Notice this. What constitutes loving the Lord? Let me paraphrase these. They're coming out of Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Don't forget now we're talking about humility. What constitutes loving the Lord? It is inconvenient to go the second mile. Now, this was really a Persian law that was adopted by the Romans, that if a military man was coming through the nation Israel, or I could say Palestine at that time and be geographically correct. If there was a man working in a field and this soldier or this military personnel was walking through that part of the country, he could take that man in the field and say to him, "You come and carry my duffel bag." I'm sure they didn't call it that in that day. for me 1 mile. And according to the Roman law, he had to do that. But listen to what Jesus said. He says, when he commands you to go 1 mile, he says, don't go one, but go two. When you get to the end of that 1 mile of carrying that man's pack, he said, you tell him, I will go another mile. And man, they didn't understand that. So, the blessing is in the second mile. Doing my duty is allocated to the first mile. But the second mile, there's where the blessing is. There's where the humility is. You see, if you ask me to do something and I do it, that means I humble myself to you and I submit myself to you. So, it's inconvenient to love our enemy. You've got to be humble to love your enemy. It is inconvenient to do good for evil. It is inconvenient to pray for our enemies. It is inconvenient to pray for those who despitefully use us. It is inconvenient to turn the other cheek for smiting. It is inconvenient to give your cloak also. It is inconvenient to give to him that asks of you and turn not away. Now, these things constitute our loving God. And in our loving God, it depends on our humility whether or not we align ourselves with these particular principles. It's not nature. It's not a convenience of the eye. But when I submit to Bible authority, that is me humbling myself to do God's will despite the opposition that's in my will. I will not do that if I do not love God more than I love myself. And that has to do with humility. Now let's notice in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. Excuse me. There's a reference here that I'd like to refer to. True humility consists of the following. Let me read the scriptural reference, and then we'll go back. 16 through 19. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that whereas ye were the servants of sin, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, or the law, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield yourselves, your members, servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Now what he is really saying here is this. Let me do some paraphrasing. True humility is to see or to perceive self as is. Not like I want myself to be, but like I really am. To acknowledge truth about self. We can bear false witness to ourselves by not being truthful with ourselves.
to confess what I am. If I'm envious, let me say to the Lord, I am envious. Or if I am proud, I am proud. Or if I have hate in my heart, I must tell God, I have hate. Or I'm striving. Or I'm lazy. I'm too lazy to pursue God's will. Tell off on yourself to God. You be the star witness against the flesh. No one has the prerogative to confess my sins but me. And he can't deal with them until I acknowledge that I have them. Blood, the blood atonement, is for the confession of sin. If I never confess, the blood atonement will absolutely be worthless in my personal life. I've got to recognize what I am. Further, I am to deny the independence of the I. And that is not easy. I say that is not easy. There is a carnal independence seated in every one of the perimeters of our life. That independence has got to go. I must know. I must comprehend. I must perceive. I must realize that I need God and I need you. For me to confess that I need you is an act of humility on my part. For me to confess that I need God is an act of humility on my part. I'm telling God what I need. Let's go a little further. To fully understand my need is to give the Holy Spirit the freedom to lead me unhindered by self. No one can throttle my commitment to God like I can. We are our worst enemy. Sin does not dwell in the environment. It dwells in the organism. It'll do you no good to move out of a community where you can't get along and move to another until you learn how to get along. The problem is not your neighbor. The problem is your dirty, cantankerous self. You watch anyone who is of an immoral intent and bring them to a city as big as Houston, they will seek the company of their own level. It's like one lady that came down there. A lot of times people come from smaller places and come to Houston, and one came, oh, this has been 2 or 3, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, I don't know how long ago it's been. And she had been in Houston for, a number of months. I wouldn't attempt to say because I don't remember what the time element was. And she said, I hadn't been able to find a church. Well, I couldn't buy that. I wanted to be nice, and I said, were you able to find the filling station? Did you find the grocery store? Did you find the dress shop? She dropped her head. If there's anything in the world that I have to pray, that almost gives me a bad spirit, and I can't afford to get a bad spirit, by somebody to think I'm so dumb in a city of 22 churches, and some of them are quite sizable, for her to make out like to me that she couldn't find her a place to go to church. Oh, Jesus. There's no place around the cross for people like that. We've got to learn to be honest. We've got to learn to be honest. There's a call for honesty today. The more subtle that evil becomes, the more concentrated will your honesty have to become, or you'll never hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because there'll be too many other sounds. There'll be too many other voices vying for your love, for your participation, and for bodily exercises. We must listen closely, and we must be exceedingly honest. Some things about self that often seeks to hinder us are the following. Self never likes to surrender. If you don't believe that it was easier for self to surrender, study Jacob at Bethel wrestling with the angel. Or maybe it was Penu where he wrestled with the angel. He fought all night. And the angel kept asking him, "What's your name?" Well, he wouldn't tell him what his name was, because when he told his name, he was confessing his trickery, his conniving, his subtlety, and that unprincipled attitude that he had. And finally, he coughed it up. And when he did, the angel touched his hip, and the thing jumped out of joint, and he just kept wrestling. And finally, he said, "My name is Jacob." Then he blessed him. God will never bless us until we confess what we are. There must be enough of appropriated humility orbiting in my experience that I continually confess, "I need you. Oh God, I must confess it." But my pride will never make that step against the I until I humble myself in his sight. Self never likes to confess. These are some of the things that self hinders us in. Don't forget, God gives us all the Holy Spirit. And I do believe, I don't know that I've got any Bible for this, so just take it with a grain of salt, but I do believe with some people there are things that God must deliver them from immediately, for they are such a pronounced illicit, untamed, unthrottled desires until God must deliver them immediately from these things. And then there are other things that God doesn't deliver you from when you get the Holy Spirit, and you will have to fast and pray and wrestle them out and die and be prodded over and over and over and over. And you just keep humbling yourself. You just keep going back. "I don't have the grace, Lord." And you just keep confessing. And after a while, when the firmness in that area of your life is like it should be, boom, it's all gone. And then there's another that pops up in its place. And you will say, "Well, where did you come from?" "Well, I've been over here in hiding." So God will take that love and test me. And another love and test me. And another love and test me. And that's why he brings us to certain experience and certain locations to test my devotion and adoration. Notice this. Self never likes to give up and surrender its personal sovereignty. That's a great thing, but it can cause you a lot of problems. Self is always a total enemy in doing the will of God. There are some things that happen sometimes so fast in a spiritual service until if you don't do it immediately, it's too late to do it. And I have missed the will of God a lot of times because I didn't act as quickly as I should. It will come to your mind like a flash of light, and a flash of light is gone. And if you don't respond immediately, it may tie that whole service up. It's just one of those things. And there's something that you can't always regulate and legislate and say, well, now the Lord's going to do something special tonight, friend. You just have to have faith and be open and have your antennas all up. And if it happens, it happens that way. And if it doesn't happen that way. We have to immediately respond. Let me tell you about one of the most... I don't know what to say. I don't know what to call it. I was in California doing some lecturing there at the college in the daytime and was preaching for Brother Haney at night. And I was preaching away one night there. I never had this to happen to me before nor since. Under a real strong anointing to preach, a lady's face just seemed to come right up in front of mine. And the moment that I saw that lady in that congregation, there was a hot wind that hit me right in the face. And here's what came to me to do. Go back and tell that lady that she has enough resentment and bitterness in her to sink a battleship, and if she doesn't repent, it will not be good for her. And when the Lord let me know that, I said, oh my God, I can't do that and all these people here, Lord. And I didn't. So, after service, I said to Brother Haney, this is Brother Haney Sr., not Kenneth. I said, Brother Haney, I have a word from the Lord. I said, and I pointed that lady out, and she was still there. I said, that lady has enough rebellion in her to sink a battleship, and if she hasn't given you trouble, she will right away. And I pointed her out to him, and the man turned white. He said, oh, Brother Dees, if only you knew the problems that I'd already had with her. I'd never seen her before. I just did not humble myself sufficiently. I feared the people. And can you imagine someone just coming down off of the platform out of a cloud of anointing and walking up to a woman before God and everybody and peeling that out to her? I just said, Lord, I failed you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'll try to do better next time. That lady is not living for God today, as far as I know. So there are things that come to us. If we don't immediately respond to that, it's too late. It's just a matter of throwing yourself in God's hand. So self is always a total enemy in doing the will of God. You will never find the convenient time to pray. You'll never find a convenient time to fast. You'll never find a convenient time to knock doors. You'll never find a convenient time to win souls. You'll never find a convenient time to teach a Sunday school class. You'll never find a convenient time to do things. Self will always see to it that you are opposed by some measure or another. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek Him with all of our heart. If bitterness is there, it's indicative of pride. Now let's notice here in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews and verses 12 through 17. Wherefore lift up your hands, which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now he is simply saying to us, any kind of a spiritual lameness that we might have, there is victory over it. But to get victory over it and to overcome this spiritual lameness, you've got to humble yourself before the Lord and make straight paths for your feet. You do that. If you know you have a personal weakness, do not enhance that or bring about a new tempting situation by exposing yourself to that. Be like Joseph. Leave your coat in a hand. Flee from temptation. And Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He says here, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If our holiness does not have peace in it, beware. If our holiness does not have peace in it, beware. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and by it many are defiled. And lest there be a fornicator, a profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And he went on to say, afterwards he would have inherited the blessing, but he was rejected. He found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Notice this verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read, before I say anything about that one, Ephesians 4 and 30. Let's notice carefully. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Now, what he is simply saying here, putting bitterness away is God's will, because bitterness comes from pride. Pride in doing things according to the eye, this is a form of idolatry. Notice this scripture that I read a moment ago. Let me check something here just a minute. It's in the fourth chapter of the book of James. Let me refer to something to there. Notice verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, for he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer, but a judge of the law. He is simply saying there that I have no right to speak evil of anybody. Speak not evil one of another, especially in the household of faith. For he that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother, listen what position he places himself in. He speaks evil of the law and judges the law. What am I really saying? I am saying when I do that, I put myself in a place to judge the work of God. How can I judge the law? not able to judge the law. But if I judge my brother, how can I judge the work of God? I can't. But when I put myself in that area or in that position, I am putting myself in a position of great presumption. I am presuming. I am putting myself in a place that I do not belong there. Humility will not let me climb up in that position. But pride and egotism will gladly let me fill the chair and make it as though I know. Now notice this bitterness here. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If it comes to it, I am to forgive you as God has forgiven me. I will never have to forgive you of nearly the things that He forgave me. But if it comes to that, my forgiveness is to go to that length. We are not to allow pride to give leadership any longer in our lives. Pride is a poor leader. The Holy Spirit could be our leader. This pride is a perverse element. We are to let pride die, and it doesn't die gracefully nor easily. Pride hinders me from being and coming to spiritual maturity and development. Why? Because pride refuses to confess my ills and my needs. Pride will lie to us concerning self. It will not let you see yourself as you are. It does not want you to break your communion with it. As long as pride can have the leadership in my life, then that is a very, very definite thing that the Holy Spirit will not be able to lead me as God would have me go. Humility is doing it God's way. Pride is doing it my way. Repeated problems arising in my life often come from an announcement of a needed maturity in some particular area. Have you ever said to yourself, here I am again back with this same thing. Dear Lord, what's going on? That's because that all of that that needs to come out is not yet out. He purges us. If the branch is ever clipped from the tree, we will not be able to produce His fruit. The Lord wants to help us oftentimes more than we won't help. This is why we are repeatedly tried. In the rearing or the attempting of rearing children, you tell them over and over and over and over. That's because you love them. And that's why the Lord brings us back by the same place a lot of times. And there we are, confronted with the same situation. And you might have thought, well, the last time you was there and prayed through about that, that would forever no more return. But so help me God, here it is in flying colors all over again. So, the Lord is allowing it to happen so that the correct spiritual value system will be set up in my heart and my life. The Lord cannot remove the problems until He sees the proper disciplines are stated in my character. Because He takes these problems and nudges me along, pushes me along, and I have to go pray all over again. And at the same time, there is a spiritual maturation or a maturity that's developing in my life. And once He gets my character development to what He wants in that area, then He lets a new outbreak happen that I've never seen and never been tried about it. All anew. It's a new frontier. It's a new ball game. It's a new everything. And so here we go again. When we have come to maturity in these developing areas, He will move the particular problem and lead us to a greater character development and spiritual achievement. And these are the times that our flesh has a tendency to hesitate. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And then He closed the gate. He says, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Out. I was in a situation here a while back, and I quoted my scripture. And I said, Dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. And I quoted it out loud. This is the will of God concerning you. And I said, Lord, would you please help me to do what I need to do so that I won't have to come back to this shrine? Did you ever feel that way? Did you ever look back on some things in your life, and when you did, you just shuddered, and you thanked God for it, but you wouldn't give 5 cents for another experiment? That goes to show you how soft this flesh is. I've been in some tight situations in the last 40 some odd years, but thank God I came through. Grace is the result of me submitting my will to God wholly. You look back, and it's like taking a pail of water, and you put your finger down in it, and you pull it up, and you say, well, where was my finger? That's like some of the places that the Lord brought you through. You look back and see that situation. You said, how did I get through there? G-R-A-C-E. And when you get through there, you don't need that kind of grace that you needed back there, but you may need another baptism of it right away. May God help us to realize today that if we will submit ourselves to Him, right now He is educating us for a more mature, developed role. You are proving yourself to the Lord by the way that you relate to certain spiritual exercises. Oh God, give us the grace and the courage and the humility to acknowledge whatever we are to Him. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your heart must be clean to see Jesus, the Savior who died on the tree to purchase from every transgression. Brother Glass preached last night, is such a beautiful privilege. I have the royal and regal opportunity to make my wrongs right. Grace has granted me that regal privilege. Angels do not have that. Cherubims do not have that. Archangels do not have that. Seraphims do not have that. But I have a right to repent. Thank you today for your kindness. God bless you.
Hey, have you appreciated the word today?